Our New Testament lesson is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. This event happened on the evening of the day that Christ was raised from the dead. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, what picture does the word missionary bring to your mind? Maybe a white man preaching the gospel to a group of black Africans, or an American doctor listening through a stethoscope to the heartbeat of a young girl in Haiti, or a young man teaching a job training class to a group of inner city teenagers in New York City. And of course, all of those people are missionaries. But they are not the only missionaries in the Christian church. You also are a missionary if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, even if you live here in Augusta County. The word missionary means a person who has been sent. It comes from a Latin word that means to send. A missile is an object that is thrust forward or sent forward toward a target. A mission is a task that someone is sent to do. And a missionary is a person on a mission. A person who is sent by God to do something. So every follower of Jesus is a missionary. Our scripture text for this morning tells us that God sent Jesus Christ into the world on a mission. God's plan was not that Jesus remain in heaven where he could enjoy the bliss of glory, but instead God sent Christ into planet Earth in order to save us from the sin within us and the sin around us. And Jesus, just as God sent Jesus into the world on a mission, so Jesus sends us into the world on a mission. On the evening after Jesus was raised from the dead, his followers were gathered in a room behind locked doors, and the risen Christ came through those doors and stood among them. Now these were the men and women who had gathered around Jesus during his time here on earth, during his ministry. They had heard him teach, seen his miracles, experienced his love, seen his courage in face of opposition. But now he is about to leave them and ascend into heaven. Who is going to carry on his work after he is gone? Well, they're going to do that, of course. They will carry his message to the world. They will show his love to the world. And so Jesus says to them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." As the Father, and those are his words to us too. As the Father sent Christ into the world on a mission, as the Father sent him to suffer and die and sweat and work for us. So he sends us on a mission. We are sent to continue the work that he has begun. If you are a Christian, you are a missionary. You are sent by God for a purpose. The Case for Christ is a movie that is playing in theaters right now. It's a story of a newspaper reporter who tries to prove that Christ did not rise from the dead, because he believes that if he can prove that, then he can prove also that the whole Christian faith is bogus, that it's false. The story starts with the conversion of this reporter's wife. She gives her life to Christ because of an incident that happens when they're eating together in the restaurant, the reporter and his wife and their daughter. And their daughter begins to choke on a piece of food, and they are unable to do anything to help her. But a woman from a nearby table takes the little girl and dislodges the food and saves the little girl's life. And they thank this woman, but she tells them they should be thanking God, because God has sent her to this restaurant. She and her husband, the woman says, were on their way to a different restaurant, but something in her mind told her that she ought to come to that restaurant. Now, probably some of us have had experiences that are similar to that, where we were about to do something, but something in our minds told us that we should be somewhere where we were really needed. And we believe that intuition in our minds came from God. And my guess is that even more of us have had another similar kind of experience, in which somehow we just happened to be in a place at the right place at the right time, in order to do something that was really needed, something that was crucially important. Some people call those experiences God's coincidences. We did not plan them. Nothing told us we should be there. We don't know how it happened, but somehow we were just in the right place at the right time. And it seems to us that God must have been behind the reason that we were there. God must have arranged that experience. But God also sends us to experiences every day of our lives. Usually they're common, ordinary experiences. There's nothing mysterious or sensational about them, but God sends us to them, and God expects us to represent him in them. One difference between Christians and non-Christians is that Christians know that their lives are filled with tasks that are given to them by God. Non-Christians may do the same task, but they do not see God's purpose in them. Today, Bethel Presbyterian Church is gathered for worship here in this building. But tomorrow morning, Bethel Presbyterian Church will not be located in this building. Bethel Presbyterian Church will be located in the homes and schools and stores and offices and farms of Stanton and Augusta County. Wherever one of you is, there Bethel Presbyterian Church will be located. And God sends you to those places to do his mission, to carry on his work. To see ourselves as missionaries is to see that wherever we are, God has placed us there for a purpose. Mission is not something that God sends someone else to do far away. It's something that God sends us to do wherever we are. God sends us, people in this sanctuary, to Augusta County in Stanton. Think of the people who live within 8 miles of this church. God sends you to them. They have a wide variety of attitudes about God. Some of them are deeply committed to Jesus Christ. Others of them rarely think about Christ. But all of them have a hunger in their hearts that only Christ can satisfy. And many of them would come to church if someone would invite them and show an interest in them. Whatever their spiritual condition, God sends you to them. Many people in this area are financially well off, but others have difficulty making it through the month on the incomes they receive. Some are unemployed. Some have huge credit card debt. Whatever their financial condition, God has placed you among them, and God calls you to be a true neighbor to them. Many people in this area have strong families filled with love, but some have deep marital problems. So many parents have difficulties with their children. In some homes, children or spouses are abused. Some people are in this area are suffering severe illnesses. Some are approaching death. Some are addicted to drugs or alcohol. Whoever they are, whatever their condition in life, God has placed you among them. And God calls you to show love and mercy and help to them. God does not want the church to be a fortress where we wall ourselves in us and where we wall ourselves in and protect ourselves from the cares of the world around us. Rather, God calls us to be a mission center in which we are strengthened to go out to serve the world. God has sent us to the 21st century, to a time of rapid change and complex confusion, a time of disagreement and struggles and violence. To wish that we lived in a time that was quieter and less confusion is to wish for a different mission than the one God has assigned us. God has called us who are parents or grandparents to raise children or grandchildren who face problems and moral issues that in some ways are very similar to the moral issues we faced when we were younger, but in other ways are very different from those issues we faced when we were younger. God calls us to struggle with issues about which there is great disagreement. Same-sex marriage, global warming, immigration, religious tolerance, income disparity, and many others. God calls us to make decisions about the best ways to use modern technology that affects almost every area of our lives. God sends us to the polls to vote for persons who will govern wisely in these complex times. I think God has sent us to one of the most exciting eras in history so far, but it's also one of the most challenging times in history so far. God sends us to our jobs to make the most of the opportunities that our work gives us. God sends us to support and influence the people with whom we work. You may wish that your fellow workers could talk with somebody who knows a lot more about Christianity than you know, or who knows a lot more about a whole range of issues and things that you know very little about. But your colleagues at work do not work with those more knowledgeable people. God has not sent them to your fellow workers. God has sent you. And you can influence those people with whom you work in a way that no one else can. God sends us to our jobs not just to make money, but to serve others. I once had a friend who was a nurse, and she dreamed of going to some other country as a missionary. She never went. But oh, what a mission she had in that hospital where she worked. Not just giving good medical care to people, but showing love and concern for her patients. Betty Meadows has been a presbytery executive in two different presbyteries in Louisville, Kentucky, and now in Charlotte, North Carolina. I knew her when I was a pastor in Georgia, and I talked to her last fall after not seeing her for over 25 years. And we did a lot of catching up, and among other things, she told me about a sabbatical that she took a few years ago. And she said, "All I've ever done is work in the church. I needed to know about some other kind of work and other kinds of workers." And so she got a job for 3 months in the local Waffle House restaurant. And she learned how the waiters and waitresses in that Waffle House tried to serve everybody who came in the best way they could. They didn't have high wages, they didn't receive big tips, but they went out of their way to serve everybody. People in suits and fashionable clothes, people with unkempt hair and dirty clothes, refined people and rough people, everybody got served alike. And Betty became a part of that Waffle House culture and served everybody and listened to the stories they told about their lives. And she did not tell the other workers there that she was a minister, but when her 3 months were almost up, she told them that she had to go back to her job in the church. But Betty, they said, "We didn't know. We used bad language around you. You went out with us and we were drinking and some of us drank too much. You were just one of us." "Yes," she said, I love you. And I was just one of you." Now, isn't that what Jesus did for us? He loved us. And he became one of us. He loves all of us. The well-groomed and the dirty and unkempt. The rich and the poor. Saints and sinners. Good citizens and prostitutes. And he says to us, "As I have done that for you, you should do the same thing for others. As I have come to you on a mission, you should go on a mission to others. God sends us to our families, or our families to us. He could have given us different children or different parents or different spouses. They might have been smarter or stupider, prettier or uglier, easier or harder to get along with. But God sends us to the ones we have. Teenagers and children, God sends you every day to the world of young people, into the schools, the sports fields, the music concerts, and other places where young people gather. God sends you to use cell phones and social media and other ways young people communicate with each other. You are a missionary to other young people in the way no adult can ever be. You know their interests, their likes and dislikes, their hopes and fears, in a way that no adult knows those things. You talk to more young people every day than I talk to in a month. The most powerful sermons that are preach to young people today are those that young people preach to each other by the lives they live. God has sent you to this church. God has sent each of you to do work as elders or choir members or teachers or cooks or carpenters, visitors of the sick, helpers of the poor, in and through this church. Some of this church's work is done here in this building. As I said earlier, much of it is done outside in the places that you go every day. But you are called to make this building a mission center, a place where people are educated and motivated and strengthened to do Christ's work out there in the world. Now, we've been talking about mission as the work that God sends us to do where we are. One qualification needs to be made. Sometimes God sends some of us to do His work in other places. We may be sent overseas. We may be sent to West Virginia or some other place where there have been floods or some other area of need in the world. And God sometimes sends us to do kinds of work that we have never done before. But for most of us, God's most important mission for us is in places where we will go this week. Think of where you will be tomorrow. God sends you to those places to do His work. And that will be true every day of your life. Let us pray together. Thank you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to carry on His mission among us. Help us to continue His work wherever we are. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.